Please be seated. Well, good morning. Today is Epiphany Sunday, as Marjorie said, when we traditionally remember the revelation of Christ to the Gentile nations, the non-Jewish world, symbolized by the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus. Now, in our language, Epiphany has come to mean not only the original meaning of the revelation to the wise men of the infant Christ, but to mean any great and sudden moment of revelation and realization. If someone says, "Oh, I've had an epiphany," it means that they've had a kind of flash of inspiration, a leap forward in understanding, some new insight into reality. Archimedes getting into the bath and realizing that the water displacement, the raising of the water level, meant that he could calculate the volume of irregular objects. And then he ran down the street naked shouting, "Eureka," or so the story goes. Isaac Newton sitting under the apple tree and discovering gravity when he had a bump on the head and he thought, "Oh, why did the apple fall?" Handel shut up in his room, frantically scribbling down the notes to the Messiah after the divine music had come into his head as an epiphany. Well, as people who are born again in Jesus and to whom the Holy Spirit is given, all of us should be people who are open to an epiphany, open to inspiration. When Adam and Eve were first formed from the dust of the earth, Genesis says that the Lord God breathed into them. The Latin for breathe is inspirare, from which we get our word inspiration. So, you see the connection, the breath of God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Ruach is the Hebrew for breath, and that means the Spirit. And from Spirit, we get inspiration. And it's the breath of God, the Spirit of God, which can give us flashes of inspiration by which we make spiritual leaps forward. How are we going to be inspired? How are we going to leap forward in 2018? Does God have any epiphanies in store for us? Will he perhaps put a new song in our hearts? A fresh understanding of his purposes for our lives? A new experience of saving power? The Magi from the East had a revelation when they visited the infant Jesus, the very incarnation of God. And they would not be the same again, those wise men. Let's think this morning about these Magi and consider how we might go on a journey similar to theirs in the new year. First, these wise men had a vision, didn't they? They saw something. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew that they had to go on a journey. They wanted to see this new king who was born. They'd probably seen a rare conjunction of two planets, one signifying royal birth, the other signifying the Jewish nation. They had somehow the faith to connect that with biblical prophecy about the coming of a Messiah heralded by a star coming out of Jacob. That was Balaam's prophecy in Numbers 24. And it was on this basis that they decided to journey to the land of Israel. Some people think they came from Persia, what is now modern-day Persia, other people from what is now modern-day Yemen, Sheba, the tip of the Saudi peninsula. We don't know. What we do know is that they didn't go only as dignitaries to pay their respects to a foreign prince. They actually went to worship the one sent by God into this world to be our Saviour and Lord. When they worshipped him, they returned to their own country, changed men. So what's our vision for 2018? What's our journey? What's our destination? Well, as part of the universal church, our overarching vision is to obey the command of the risen Lord in Matthew 28 to go into all the world, making disciples, calling people to be born again in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the distinctive way we go about this is, as Jesus said in John 13, by loving one another so that all men will know that we are his disciples truly. Obedience to the Great Commission and obedience to the command to love. And those two are bound up with one another and inseparable. And phrases and mottos which have appealed to us as a church over recent years are phrases like hungry for God, sharing his love, being on fire for God, alive with the joy of knowing Christ, filled with his Spirit, living out his word, doing the works of the kingdom of God. And they're all wonderful phrases. But more specifically, what if we were to say, well, what's the aim? What's the goal of our church in the next year or two? What's our sort of vision statement, if you like? Then about 2 or 3 years ago, we set out our 2020 vision, as we can call it, which is rather handy. We decided we wanted to be more of a hub for our local community in order to facilitate the development of relationships in which people can be drawn to Christ and experience his love for them. And last year, 2017, I think was a year of preparation for new things to emerge. A building work is an obvious example. And it took us pretty much, slightly longer than a year to get it finished. And there's still a little bit of work in the corner to be done. We also had a weekend away, though, as a church. And at that weekend, our speaker, Mike Hill, encouraged us to do some research into the needs and desires of our community. We undertook a survey using a questionnaire to canvass the views of over 400 people of all ages. And the results indicated a significant demand for the following things. A child-friendly drop-in cafe. Keep fit classes. Friendship club for the elderly. Cookery classes. Lunch club. Counselling. Support for families of children and young people with additional needs. Parenting courses. Listening service. Marriage and relationship courses, basic Christianity courses, and a group for the hard of hearing. Now those 12 things were significant demands or significant desires from the community. And the provision of those things would be both a blessing to the community in themselves and a bridge between us, the church, and those outside of the church. And evangelism becomes easy and natural when authentic relationships are formed through this kind of loving outreach. And the greatest gift we can give to people is to help them encounter Jesus Christ. But of course we facilitate that by loving service and building these relationships. Inviting people, getting alongside people where they're at, meeting them at some common point of interest. And I'm excited that now we have the facilities to meet some or all of these desires, but of course we need more than just a nice new extension and the results of a survey. We need people who are called to lead or take part in providing these outreach ministries. We need to identify people with a servant heart, who respect authority and work well with others, who love the people of Bedgrove, and who have no agendas other than promoting God's kingdom. Already our premises are hired out to various groups, a preschool, a ballet school, and a company providing tuition in maths and English. And these are long-term arrangements which now bring in considerable income, income that we need in order to meet our ongoing expenses. But there's other things that, those are long-term things that happen here that people from outside of our church organise. All the other things need to be, I think, in-house ministries, things that we ourselves provide. So a drop-in cafe would or could operate alongside parents dropping their children off for preschool or ballet or the maths and English tuition, or for parents dropping their children off at Bedgrove Infant and Junior School or picking them up. I've asked Lydia Lee to give some consideration of the practicalities of running such a cafe, preserving some of the best aspects of the much-loved Thursday morning coffee shop, because, of course, that provides such a highlight for many people, an opportunity, particularly for elderly people, to come and have friendship and enjoy our premises. And as I say, the cafe could dovetail with all the activities we already have on our premises and others that we might to develop. And Lydia's proposals are going to be considered by the PCC at the end of this month. Judith Morey is planning to restore Little Fishes soon, the group for mums and toddlers. Mums and newborn babies. Fishes is for parents and toddlers. Little Fishes is for parents and their newborns. Pauline Etor is establishing a group for the hard of hearing, and there are long-term plans for a listening service and perhaps in due course counselling, although that requires quite a lot of setting up, quite a lot of funding and training. I'm keen to offer marriage and parenting courses, and I'm sure we could provide Keep Fit and cookery classes. So if that's something that you're interested in or could be inspired to set up and run, please do have a word with me. And regarding courses in basic Christianity, we've decided to run an Alpha course here on Sunday mornings, beginning on Sunday, February the 4th, at the 10:45 slot. And the reason we're doing that at 10:45 is because we already have a good number of people who attend that service, and we want to make the most of the opportunity to invite people to a place where lots of people are already gathered. We have the facilities to serve coffee and pastries or croissants. There'll be enough of us here for visitors not to feel unduly exposed, and yet the use of the flexible space could make the small group experience, which is part of Alpha, a key part of it. Many people could do with doing a course of Christian basics. It may be that you yourself have been a Christian a long time and have gone far beyond the basics. Perhaps you have done the Alpha course, or you've done it even several times. But I would, even though you're obviously all members of the 9 o'clock service, I would ask you to consider perhaps taking part in the Alpha course, maybe inviting someone, and if they say yes, it's good to say, well, I'll bring you along. So in the backs of the chairs, there are lots of Alpha invites, and really, the success of this will depend on, I think, us having invitational hearts, us as a church developing a culture of invitation. We looked at the Michael Harvey teaching last year. That was another thing we did by way of preparation. And we all know that we can come up with hundreds of excuses for never inviting anyone. actually the root of all those excuses is fear. Fear that people just won't be interested, fear about what people will think, fear they might say yes and come and not like it, and we might be embarrassed. All of these fears are actually things that I think God wants us to overcome as people. Really, as a church, we can't move forward unless we are courageous. We're willing to be big-hearted, to have this big-hearted vision. No doubt, the wise men had many reasons for not going on a long journey. It would have cost money, it would have been time-consuming, it would have been perhaps dangerous. It would have been involving themselves in the affairs of another country, mixing with rather dangerous characters like Herod. So you can see that the wise men would have had all sorts of reasons for just, you know, I'll stay at home, I won't get involved in this. But no, they had this larger vision of it being really important, and that gave them the courage to do what they did. A question for you: why did the wise men travel together to see the infant Jesus? That may seem like a daft question, but actually, in our individualistic world today, I think we could imagine several reasons why the wise men might have travelled separately or individually. They could have chosen their own route, and they wouldn't be arguing about which way to get. They could have chosen their own mode of transport. They could have gone at their own pace. They could have avoided some of those difficult relationship problems that affect people when they spend a lot of time together. But no, they travelled together, didn't they? And I think a key reason was protection, because it was dangerous to travel on your own, as well as the mutual encouragement that comes with journeying with others. If any of them had got tired or discouraged or wondering whether this was all a waste of time and they were being a bit silly, the others could encourage them. And I think that that's a picture again for Christians on journey of faith. We can all think that it's easier to be a lone ranger in our faith. It's a very personal and private matter, we think. And we come to church as an individual to perhaps pay our respects to the Almighty and then go home again. Actually, that's not really what Christianity is about. It's about journeying together in faith and encouraging one another, supporting one another, reaching out to this world alongside one another. Because we need protection, we have an enemy who, just like Herod, was out to get the infant Jesus. The devil is out to destroy the effectiveness of Christians, to prevent us from being spiritually effective for God. So we need to cover one another, we need to protect one another, encourage, pray for one another, look out for one another. We also need to encourage one another, and sometimes it's hard work, isn't it, being a servant of the Lord, because there's a great world of need out there. There are many situations which are difficult, and we do need to support one another and pray for each other. And you know, when someone does step out and invite someone to church, and if they did come, then if the rest of us are just disinterested in what's happening, or not really engaging with evangelism, then others feel discouraged and downhearted. So we're in it together, just like the wise men, travelling to see Jesus. So the wise men had a vision, they had the commitment to pursue that vision, they pursued it together in unity, and finally they were really listening out for the voice of God. And I think that's important for us this year Another thing that is in your church chairs is a leaflet about visits by LL Ministries to our church throughout 2018. And these are three Saturday events throughout the year. And I really believe that God is wanting to speak to people about ways in which they can be released into a greater fullness of life, of healing, of deliverance from things that oppress and bind us. Maybe fear, maybe addiction, maybe bitterness and unforgiveness. It may be anything, really, that actually the Lord wants to come in and minister to that area of your life. And the wise men were open to hearing from God about what they needed to do and what they should not do. And of course, they were warned by the Lord not to go back to Herod, because that would be to get mixed up in the devil's work in seeking to destroy what God was doing. And we need to be open to being warned away from certain things and being ministered to in terms of healing and what God wants for us in the future, the ways in which he wants us to step out. And LL Ministries really are all about that. They're about helping people away from the evil things of this world and restoring the peace and the strength of Christ in our lives through healing ministry and deliverance ministry. So let's be people with vision, let's be people with commitment, let's be people of unity, and let's be people who are listening to God and the opportunities he's going to send to us this year for ways in which we can move forward spiritually. The last thing I want to say is a kind of notice about this evening. We have this evening a guest speaker called Professor Yusufu Turaki, and he's a gentleman from northern Nigeria. He's ordained, he's the principal of a theological college, he's also a professor, and he's a distinguished guest, really, invited by the organisation Open Doors, which is the organisation I went to Egypt with. And every year, Open Doors publish what they call the World Watch List of countries where Christians are most persecuted. And Nigeria is up there because of the persecution of Christians, particularly in northern Nigeria. It's where Boko Haram operates, their terrorist group. And he's coming to speak in our church this evening. And that's a good opportunity to hear someone from another very different part of the world. But I'm sure something very important to say to us and for us to listen to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that at the beginning of this new year, you would help us to move forward as a church, just as the wise men journeyed with a vision, in unity, with commitment, and listening out for your voice, being open to what you wanted to say to them. Help us to be all of those things. And may we truly move forward as a church in 2018. In Jesus' name. Amen.